In the printed notes that we have sent with this tape, you'll notice that on page 2 that we have outlined the name Yahweh, and you will be able to see from the references that we have given some of the implications of that name. We suggest that you carefully look at those references and that you outline in your Bible the name of Yahweh. If we have not made this sufficiently clear, do not hesitate to write to us for any further information concerning this. And of course, as I suggested earlier, if you want further reading matter upon it, we would recommend that you go to the first volume of Eureka, pages 70 to 95, under the heading The Mystery of Godliness, Apocalypse in Symbol, or to the book Phanerosis. Before leaving this subject, I want to refer to three passages of Scripture. The first passage is the 26th chapter of Isaiah and verse 8. And in this place, we learn what Isaiah thought of the memorial name of God. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 8. And there Isaiah says, "In the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." But in the Revised Standard Version, we have those words rendered as follows: "Thy memorial name is the desire of our soul." Thy memorial name is the desire of our soul. And now, turn to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah and verse 7. And here we have a reference that we can link up with Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. Remember that in Acts chapter 15 and verse 14, we learned that God is taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. Now we claim to be that people. Now what does that mean? Well, here we have an explanation. Isaiah 43 and verse 7. "Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory." Now that is what is meant when Simeon says that God is taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. God is calling those people that they might reveal his glory. And that is the significance of this wonderful theme. It's not enough, you know, to be able to repeat the word Yahweh or to be able to say where the words El or Elohim appear in Scripture. We must learn that we must build into our lives the divine characteristics of the Father before we can lay claim to being able to understand his name. We must understand the implications of Isaiah 43 and verse 7. And Israel failed because they did not understand the implication of that particular verse. "Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory." And Israel was called by that name. In the 6th chapter of Numbers, we learn how that the name of Yahweh was named upon that nation. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27. Words that are very familiar to us, because in most ecclesias, when a person is received in, this is one of the anthems that are sung on that occasion. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 onwards. "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And thou shalt put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." And so the name of Yahweh was named upon the children of Israel. And as a nation, they were incorporated into the family of God. And that became their family name. But it was that name that they profaned. Not because they used it. They never used it. But because they acted inconsistently with a name that was named upon them. And that Isaiah is stressing in that 43rd chapter. One final reference in relation to this name, and that is found in the 13th chapter of Hosea, and at verse 12th chapter of Hosea, verse 5. And there we have the statement that Yahweh is his memorial. Now, though we have in these references statements that would imply that Yahweh spake directly to Moses, that was not the case. Yahweh has never appeared upon this earth. No one hath seen him at any time. So that he never spake to Moses or anybody else except through his angels. Now those angels had the name of Yahweh named upon them. As we learned in our tapes when we were dealing with the theme that God is one, we learned that the name of God was named upon an angel, or that one went forth in the authority and the name of Yahweh. But Yahweh himself personally has never appeared upon earth to men, has never manifested himself personally in that fashion, but always through one of his representatives, the angels of heaven. Should you have any doubt about this, or any query in relation to it, then we would be pleased to hear from you. Now what we propose to do at this stage is to commence marking up the word ale. If you have a look at the printed notes that we have supplied you with, you find this name under the word El, ale. The first title outlined in the chart that we have sent you. And there we have expressed the significance of this word ale. Now we propose to go through the various places in the scriptures where this word appears, and we do suggest that you mark these in with coloured pencil. We would suggest that you use the colour red for the word ale. It does not really matter what colour you use, so long as you distinguish it from the other places where it occurs. Now my suggestion is this, that you now take your pencil in hand and mark the places that I'm going to direct your attention to. We will go to every reference in the Old Testament where the word ale appears. And if you mark your Bible in red or whatever colour you select at these places, then whenever you turn to them again, you will know that the word there is this word ale, and that it signifies, as you find in your notes, might and power in bold relief. Not ordinary might or power, but divine might and power, such as man knows nothing about. Now the first place where we have this referred to is in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. We learn from here that Melchizedek was priest of the Most High God. The word is ale. Mark it in red. It signifies power or might. And as Brother Thomas points out in Phanerosis, the fact that he is the Most High Ale, the Most High God, implies that there are lesser powers over which he is the supreme power. And of course that we have seen in our previous tapes that this is the case, because God is a great king over all the Elohim. Yahweh is a great king over all the Elohim. So here we have the statement that he is the Most High Ale, the Most High Power. Not the Most High God in the sense that he is greater than Baal or Ashtaroth or these other pagan gods, but the Most High Power, supreme over the other powers, even the angels. You have the same word used in verse 19 of this chapter, in verse 20 of this chapter, and in verse 22 of this chapter. So that if you have your pencil in your hand, before we turn to the next passage of scripture, mark these all in as being the word ale. Notice, for example, in verse 22 that you have Yahweh. Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto Yahweh, the Most High Ale Power, the possessor of heaven and earth. And in that verse, Abram is giving expression to the fact that God is a great power possessing heaven and earth. So that here, in this passage of Scripture, the emphasis is placed upon the power of Almighty God, and not upon the fact that he exists. Now, in chapter 16 and verse 13, we have the word occurring once again. She called the name of Yahweh that spake unto her, Thou ale seest me. Thou ale seest me. And here Hagar is speaking of God in the sense of power. She recognizes that there is an overshadowing power who is also able to see her and act for her deliverance. Thus, this mighty, powerful one is one that was overlooking her for good. And she is giving expression to that fact. In chapter 17 of verse 1, you have it in the word Almighty God. And here again, the word God is El. So again, mark this in with your pencil. Brother Thomas makes the point in Phanerosis that the word Almighty, the Hebrew word being Shaddai, is a plural word, and it is interesting to learn that it has a dual meaning, that it can mean either destroyer or a nourisher. So that God is here represented as the strength of the mighty ones, the strength of the destroyers or the strength of the nourishers. He's the strength of the Shaddai. So that whilst the word Ael is a word in the singular number, Shaddai is a word in the plural number. And the expression here, Almighty God, or Ael Shaddai, the strength of the destroyers or the strength of the nourishers, signifies that surging through the mighty host of heaven, there is one power, even the power of Almighty God. And therefore, he is the power of those ones who acted so belligerently and so powerfully on the behalf of Abram. Abraham was conscious of the angels overshadowing him for good. He saw the manifestations of their power in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he knew that behind these angels who overshadowed him for good, or destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in an outpouring of judgment, behind these mighty angels, there was one supreme over all them. He is El, the great Increate, the mighty force of heaven and of earth. And he is the one whose power is revealed through these angels. In this particular place, this mighty power, speaking to Abram, said, walk before me and be thou perfect. That is, walk as though you are always conscious of my presence, and be perfect in the sense of being mature. These are similar words to those used by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. We now pass on to Genesis chapter 21 and verse 33. Genesis 21 verse 33. And here we read that Abram planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of Yahweh, the everlasting God. In the Hebrew, there are three words, Yahweh, El, Olam. The word Olam signifies the hidden period, and it is used frequently for the millennium. And Yahweh, El, Olam can signify he who will be the strength of the hidden period, the strength of the millennium. So Yahweh, the everlasting God, is not expressive of the fact that Yahweh is a God who lasts forever, but that rather Yahweh is he whose mighty power will be revealed in the millennium. He is the Ael of the Olam, he who will be the strength of the hidden period, the strength of the millennium. And thus Abraham saw God as that mighty one whose power would be revealed at that particular time in the millennium, in the age to come. We now go to the 28th chapter of Genesis, and at verse 3. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 3. And here again we have the term God Almighty once again, and that is in the Hebrew, El Shaddai. God Almighty, bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee. See the emphasis upon the power of deity. And that is expressive in this word, El. It's speaking of God as a powerful one. And it is because of his power that he is able to bless, to make fruitful, to multiply, that Israel might become a multitude of people. And so it is appropriate that Isaac should speak in blessing Jacob of El Shaddai, the strength of the mighty ones, whose mighty power was able to bless. We come now to the 31st chapter of Genesis, again in the life of Jacob, later called Israel. In Genesis chapter 31 and verse 13, in his dream, he heard the voice of God saying, "I am the God of Bethel." Now the word God there is this word El. "I am the strength of Bethel." Notice that in this word Bethel, you have the word El again, Bethel. Actually, these are two words, the house of El, the house of God, the house of strength. "I am the strength of the house of strength." That is what God is saying to Jacob at this particular time. So long as Jacob turned to God and saw in him his strength, then all would be well. He had to be always conscious of the fact that not in his own might, not in his own power, but in the strength of the God of power, in the strength of El, of the house of strength, would be his confidence. And therefore, when God addressed him in this way, he appropriately used the title El. And you can see the use and the importance of such a title in such a statement as that. The 35th chapter of Genesis and verse 1. Here we read, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Here again the word is El. We can go back to the previous reference, and we there find God introducing himself to Jacob as the mighty one, the El, the strength of the house of El. And so he is to build an altar unto this one whose power hath helped him. That's the idea inherent in this word El. Then we have it again in the verse 3. "I will make there an altar unto El." Again in verse 11. "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee." In all these places, we have the word El. We now pass on to the 43rd chapter of Genesis, and at verse 14. And again, we have the term El Shaddai, so that we can mark in the word God here and know that the word is El in the Hebrew. "El Shaddai, give you mercy before the man." And so the idea is that the strength of Israel, the great El of the heavens, the mighty power of God, should overshadow them for good. That is the prayer that is being offered at this time by Jacob. Pass on to the 46th chapter of Genesis, and at verse 2. Now here we have the words of God unto Israel. And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father." Now here we have two words God in the one verse. Genesis 46 verse 3. "I am God, the God of thy father." But the first word is El, the second word is Elohim. The first word El signifies the strength of the mighty ones of thy father. "I am the strength of the mighty ones of thy father." Now, the mighty ones of thy father were the angels who manifested the glory of God unto Isaac. But behind those angels, there was the divine power and strength of the Creator. There was El. So God, in speaking to Jacob, said, "I am El. I am power." And that power has been manifested through the angels, the Elohim of thy father. And therefore he was to fear not to go down into Egypt, because El is with him. And notice again how that the word of strength or power of El is associated with and contrasted with the strength and power of Egypt. We pass on to the 48th chapter of Genesis and verse 3. And there we have the title again, El Shaddai. "Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And so he is conscious of the overshadowing goodness of that one who is mighty above all other power. Genesis 49 and verse 25 is the next place. It has relationship to the blessing of Joseph. We know how that Joseph's life was overshadowed for good, how that the strength of deity was with him and enabled him to surmount the difficulties that faced him and ultimately caused his brethren to bow down to him. So in verse 24 of Genesis 49 we read, "His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob." That's not the one I'm referring to. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father. And there the word is ale. By the ale, the strength of thy father, the mighty power of God, who would cause even those that opposed Joseph to ultimately bow down before him. It was through the ale of thy father who had helped him that he was able to overcome the difficulties that faced him. And thus, leaning upon that mighty power and that mighty strength, he won through. And appropriately, the title that has been selected to do service for God in this place is the title of ale. Now that completes our consideration of the word ale as far as Genesis is concerned. We go now to the book of Exodus, and the first occurrence is in the 6th chapter of Exodus, and at verse 3. Here we learn the statement made to Moses, that God said, "I appeared unto Abraham and unto Jacob and unto Isaac by the name of El Shaddai, God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, or Yahweh, was I not known to them." So that he manifested himself unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That was the name, or by the title God Almighty. But by his name Yahweh, I was not known to them. Notice that the name of in this verse is in italics, indicating that it is not in the original, because God Almighty is not the name of deity, but one of his titles. So he appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by God Almighty. He was manifested through the mighty ones that Abraham saw when the judgment was poured out upon Sodom and Gomorrah, or the mighty ones who overshadowed these fathers of Israel for their good. But by his name Yahweh was I not known by them. So we can mark the word God here as being Ael. Now what is meant by the statement, "by my name Yahweh was I not known to them"? We know that the word Yahweh does occur in the book of Genesis. And Abraham, for example, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, is represented as using the name Yahweh. I do not think that Abraham recognized the name Yahweh was the self-imposed name of deity. I do not think that that was given to Abraham, as we are clearly stated here, that as we are told in the 3rd chapter of Exodus, it was given unto Moses and conveyed by him to the people of Israel. Prior to that time, Abraham and the other worthies recognized the principles of the Yahweh name without having that name formally set before them as his family name. They knew, for example, that the great creator, that El Shaddai, was going to manifest his power through the seed of promise, who was the seed of the woman, or the seed promised to Abraham. They recognized that fact. They recognized the fact that the worthy must manifest the characteristics of God, and therefore he must be revealed in them. And I believe that Abraham was giving expression to these facts when he used the term AA or Yahweh, and used it not as a proper noun, but as expressive of what God would do. He will be manifested. And I think that Abraham would use that in that way, as expressing the purpose of God, the intention of God, but not in the sense that that was his name. As a name, it was not proclaimed until it was given to Moses at Sinai. And Moses, in turn, took it down to the people of Israel and revealed it unto them as the family name, incorporating the divine purpose an intent of the great God of Israel in calling his people out of Egypt. And therefore, though we have the name Yahweh appearing in the book of Genesis, it is not used there in the sense, in the same sense as it is used in the later books of the Bible. Furthermore, we know that Moses wrote the book of Genesis, and he could incorporate the name Yahweh where he thought it was appropriate to his purpose so to do. We pass on to the 15th chapter of Exodus and verse 2. And in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, we have again the word Ael. Yahweh is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my Ael, my divine power. And we can see the import of the name Ael in this particular place. My father's Elohim, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. And so we can see the glory of the names and titles of deity in this wonderful chapter. In the 11th verse of this chapter, you have the plural word of this word Ael, with the Aelims, and in the margin, Aelim rather, and in the margin you have the translation Mighty Ones. Who is like unto thee, O Yahweh, among the mighty ones? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? When a person manifests the glory and the power of Yahweh, he in turn becomes a mighty one. That is the idea expressive here. If we draw upon the strength of Yahweh and manifest that strength in our life, then we become strong by the indwelling presence of Yahweh through his word. And that strength is manifest in our ability to overcome the flesh. When God revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ became strong because of the indwelling presence of Ael in him. It was the case also with the prophets of old, with the angels, so that they become mighty ones because of the indwelling of the might of the increate one. And that is the principle expressed here. Verse 2 says, he is my God, that is, my strength, my Ael. And because of that, Israel had become strong, and we are able to say, Moses was able to say in verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Yahweh, among the Aelim, among the mighty ones, those who have been made strong by the presence of Ael. We go to the 20th chapter of Exodus for the next occurrence of this word, and at verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh thy Elohim, am a jealous Ael, a jealous power, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me. So here is his mighty power. He is a jealous power. Therefore we dare not flout that mighty power, because being a jealous power, he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of those that hate him, and to the third and the fourth generation. So he is seen not only as a beneficent power, but here as a jealous power. We continue to the 34th chapter of Exodus, and at verse 6, a very, very significant passage of Scripture. If we had time, we would love to deal with it, because in verses 6 and 7, we have the God's own declaration of his character to Moses. Notice that these two verses set before us the goodness and the severity of God. And notice that the goodness of God, his mercy and his graciousness, overshadows his severity. He is essentially merciful and gracious and loving and kind. And that is the first thing that we see about God, and the thing that attracts us mostly to him. And now in this declaration of his name, we read these words, verse 6 of Exodus 34. Yahweh passed by, that is the angel upon whom there had been superimposed the name of Yahweh, as we read earlier in the book of Exodus. Yahweh passed by him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Ael, the strong or the mighty one, the strength or the might of Yahweh. Here we have that word Ael. And because of his power, He can be merciful and gracious, and he can visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and so forth. In verse 14, again we have the word ail. We have it here used twice. For thou shalt worship no other ail. For Yahweh, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous ail. Brother Thomas renders that. Thou shalt worship for ail, that is strength, no other. For Yahweh, whose name is Jealous, a jealous ail is he. Thou shalt worship for ail or strength, no other. You will not turn to any other source for your strength, your power, but to him. And this is a principle that we can learn in our walk in Christ Jesus, that strength and power is only derived from Almighty God. And if we build into our lives that strength and power, we will be enabled to overcome. That was the principle set forth here, and the reason why the term ail is used in this particular verse. We will leave our consideration of these words at this stage, as time has elapsed, and we will continue the treatment of ail in our next tape, and then go on to consider the word Eloah. In the meantime, should there be any questions that you desire to ask concerning this matter or the treatment of any particular verse of Scripture, please write to us, or we will be happy to attend to it, both by correspondence and also in subsequent tapes upon this particular theme. In the meantime, we trust that you will go over these references again and consider them again in the light of the comments that we have made in regard to them. Good night.